Start by my clock at 7:01. So shall we rise and do the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the August 6, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the Municipal Building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilduff?
Here.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Here.
Mr. Margini?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Absent.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Scheich?
Absent.
And Mr. Semay?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have executive meeting minutes or not? We're going to hand them out. Take a minute or two and read them over. For the eligible members, which are Denise, I think it's Mr. Higgins, Ms. Kleinhands, Mr. Pfeffer, and me of the folks
correct.
Here.
Right. Yep.
Any questions or concerns on the minutes?
That's good.
Nope. If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinham?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Pass these back over. We have no resolutions tonight, so we are now up to the action-packed part of the meeting. We have a capital improvement review this evening. Clinton Township Recreation, Block 88, Lot 3.03, Bunt Park, 8 Red Schoolhouse Road. The applicant is requesting a capital improvement review to expend township funds to erect a 576-square-foot pole barn for storage of recreation equipment at Bunt Park. So before we discuss this, John, do you just want to give a quick overview of what and why we're doing this?
So the Municipal Land Use Law in Section 31, so it's NJSA 40:55-31A, says the following. Whenever the planning board shall have adopted any portion of the master plan, and this planning board has adopted almost every portion of the master plan that's available under the MLUL, the governing body or other public agency having jurisdiction over the subject matter, before taking action necessitating the expenditure of any public funds incidental to the location, character, or extent of such project, shall refer the action involving such specific project to the planning board for review and recommendation in conjunction with the master plan, and shall not act thereon without such recommendation or until 45 days have elapsed after such reference without receiving such recommendation. So, the planning board is not here to approve anything. The planning board is here to review the proposed project and make recommendations as it relates to the master plan. Now, if you have any other recommendations, my opinion, you can make them also, but just understand these are recommendations. They're not binding on the agency spending the money, but they have to go through it. They have to either get your recommendation up or down, which, again, even if it's down, that doesn't kill any project. But you have to make your recommendation available so that public agency, before spending the money, can get the planning board's feelings on it. That's what the statute requires.
Yes. And these are fairly typical. We do these periodically.
Yeah, every so often.
Municipal projects.
Once every 2 years, maybe.
So, who's presenting the project?
Michael Wright from the Construction Department, the Recreation Director is on vacation. Okay. So Mike volunteered to stand in.
Okay.
Can we swear you in?
Sure.
Would you like
raise your right hand?
You want to sit there or here?
Yes, yeah, he's over there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Get in the hot seat.
Yeah, you get in the hot seat. See how it feels, baby.
Oh, he's been there before.
Right.
Yeah.
This is my comfortable seat here.
Okay, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony and the presentation you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you guide?
I do.
Can you state your full name for the record?
Michael Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
And your position in the township?
The construction official, building subcode official.
Right. So can you just tell the planning board about the project?
I mean, sure.
The planning board has the capital review application in front of them, correct? Yes.
All right. The rec department / committee has been discussing the need for this building for a number of years. Part of the building is going to be used to protect the equipment for the sports clubs that use Bump Park, as some of their equipment has gotten damaged as it gets left out in the open and over the weekends. The other part of the building is going to be used to store stuff for the rec department, like their decorations for the Halloween event. They've been storing it at Paran, but those trailers and stuff are, you know, moisture's getting in, so the equipment's getting damaged, so they're looking for a new place to keep that protected. The building is going to be installed by Shirk Pole Barn, which is the exact same building that was done for the police department out back here. It's the same design, same plan.
And by the way, that police department building, that was
brought here as well.
For capital review, same here, correct?
Correct. The DPW is going to pour the slab to help save costs. It's the same building. It's 24 by 24 by 14 feet, 8 inches high. As Kevin mentioned, it's 576 square feet. The colors are going to match the existing building that's there. In the packet, the last couple pages, they show a picture of the existing building and then the color choices on the previous page, which they're going to get the ones that match as close as they can get. The building is going to be located next to the existing building. It's probably about 15, 20 feet away, so they can maintain the driveway that goes around the other building. The overhead doors are going to face this in the same direction as the larger building that is there. About as much information as I can give, I think.
Put it this way. I mean, we're not asking if you're an expert in recreation, but based on what you know and as the township construction code official, is this building consistent with the uses of the park, which is part of the recreation element of the master plan?
Yes.
And it's to store recreation equipment, and
that's what his testimony is.
Yes. Recreation equipment as well as the stuff that the clubs, like the Mohawks for the field hockey, for their nets and stuff, so that they don't get left out in the open, and then if kids are over there on the weekends, so it doesn't get damaged.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I see by your diagram here, it kind of fits in next to the existing barn, whatever
Correct.
You want to call it.
Whole barn.
And that other area of equipment. So it looks like it's in a pretty good spot. It doesn't look all that visible.
And did you mention how many feet of separation between the buildings?
I would say it's somewhere between 15 and 20 feet.
Any issues or questions from the board on this one?
You could just have them. If you feel that way, so you recommend that they
look pretty good.
It looks good. You don't have to come up with a bunch of things.
No, that's why I'm just asking.
I'm right there 100%. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
It's going to have electrical service?
There's been no mention to me about electrical service being brought over to it.
Does the current one have?
Yes.
Okay.
Someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Second.
That the motion, yep. I assume, will be that it's recommended they go ahead with the project.
Yes, go ahead.
And there's nothing keeping them from running electric, but nobody's talked to me about running electric to it as of this time.
And the motion will include that this project will not be inconsistent.
You don't even need a consistency review.
I'll just
recommend that they go ahead with the project. That's the motion?
Is there a second?
Yep. And this
second,
doesn't need a resolution. This could be a letter from the board secretary to the township's clerk.
Roll call.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Mr. Pfeffer.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilbuck?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinman?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Spina?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
The only comment I'd make, and it's probably not to you, it's to the rec and the mayor, is if you're allowing third-party groups to use this, because I remember this came up during my time, you ought to get some sort of a release or something that...
Yeah,
everybody has access to this, all the different clubs, and, you know, sure as we're sitting here, somebody's going to say, my X got wrecked or my Y got taken, and the old no good deed goes unpunished. The township providing a space to put stuff, we should not be on the hook for
basic hold harmless.
Yes.
Agreement.
Otherwise, they should. That would be my recommendation. It's not for land use. It's just sound.
Agreed.
I will let Jesse. I'll bring that up to Jesse tomorrow.
Again, do you want to make that part of the motion or not?
No, I don't think that needs to be part of the land use. I just brought it up because I have some folks here who
list. Yep, got it.
Thank you.
Job well done.
Thank you, Mike.
We now have a
you pass.
Public hearing. Annandale Village, LLC. Block 53, Lot 3, 6 West Street, application 201803. Applicant is proposing to retrofit the former municipal building to accommodate retail space on the first floor and two dwelling units on the second floor. The owner is proposing to vacate a portion of Washington Street in order for the applicant to construct a 10-unit apartment building and parking lot. It is also proposed that the parking lot be subdivided from the existing lot added to the and deeded to the township to provide public parking.
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse.
Okay, let the record show. The mayor is recusing himself.
Noted.
Okay. So, good evening.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Vincent Bisogno, B-I-S-O-G-N-O. I represent Annandale Village, LLC. We are the contract purchasers of Lot 3, Block 53, which is the old municipal building located on West Street. We have a contract with the town to purchase this building and retrofit the old municipal building. For the past 18 months or so, we have been negotiating with the township to purchase this property and to retrofit the municipal building.
So you're you represent the redeveloper, right?
Redeveloper.
Under a redevelopment order.
Yes, yes. There was a redevelopment plan prepared by Mr. Behrens, which is dated, I think, March 10, 2017. We signed a contract with the municipality on October 25th, 2017. And we're finally here before this board to obtain preliminary and final major site plan approval, a minor subdivision, and a minor variance for a side yard, which is located on the northwest corner of the property. There is a minor deviation in our plan, which will be produced to the board as an exhibit by our engineer. Just to give you a very brief background of what's going on here, what's happening. The lot number 3, block 53, where the municipal building is located, the southerly portion of that property, where the parking lot is, will be subdivided off, and that is the minor subdivision. That's approximately 13,000 square feet. And you'll see it on the plans that we have here just for an exhibit to give you some reference. That 13,000 square feet on the southerly portion of lot number 3 will be a municipal parking lot. My client will be putting in curbing. He will be putting in lighting. He'll be putting in landscaping. It will remain a gravel lot unless the township will pave it. Eventually, this lot will be turned over to the municipality. They will manage it. It will be for public purposes. The public will be parking here, and my client will have the opportunity to park here also. That is the 13,000 square feet on the southerly part of the lot.
Just a quick question. What do the plans show about that parking area? The plans show it's going to remain gravel? It says compacted gravel to be removed, and your plans, don't your plans show paving?
It's a question of who's doing it.
We'll wait till you get sworn.
That's not part of the discussion.
The other part of the lot, the northerly part of lot number 3, where the municipal building is located. As you know, the municipal building has been vacant for a number of years. I believe 10 or 15 years it's been vacant, and it's in a serious state of disrepair. It's about 16,000 square feet or more. We're going to reduce the municipal building to around 4,400 square feet, and we're taking down approximately three-quarters of it, and we're going to renovate it according to plans that we have submitted to the board. The building that we renovate will be used on the first floor either as a restaurant or some other commercial use. We prefer a restaurant, but we're going to leave our options open. On this, that'll be approximately 1,800 square feet for the restaurant. On the second floor will be two apartments, one bedroom each. There'll be 1,000 square feet approximately. That's the front building that fronts on West Street. In the rear of this lot and fronting on Center Street will be a 10-unit apartment building, 2.5 stories. I believe we have 6 two-bedroom units and 4 one-bedroom units, but my client will verify that. As I indicated, it will front on Center Street. There'll be parking on lot number 3 for 29 vehicles. That's in addition to the parking lot of the 13,000, which will be conveyed to the municipality. There's 30 spaces in the municipal lot, a total of about 59 spaces on site. You should be aware that we have received from the state of New Jersey the State Historic Preservation Office a permission to redevelop the municipal parking or municipal building, and that was obtained by Mr. Burns back in March of 2017.
Hey, Vince, let me interrupt one second. Did you say retail and restaurant or restaurant?
Retail or restaurant.
It'd be
commercial.
Do you have a copy of the redevelopers agreement with you tonight?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we're going to have to get that submitted in as an exhibit because I could just be remembering wrong, but I thought it was restaurant, but we'll get to that too.
We'll get
to it.
Okay. There's also a Highlands planning area exemption number 3 that we have received from the state of New Jersey. You should be aware also that we are going to be granting to the owner of lot 1, block 50, immediately to the north of our property, an easement to go across our property and access the rear of his property. That will be at no cost to the owner of lot number one. The township will be vacating Washington Street, and the majority of Washington Street will be conveyed to our client. So that you know where I'm going with the application, I have two witnesses tonight. I have the developer, Rob Fernandez, who will be testifying regarding the use he will be making of the property, the negotiations he's had with the township, and also our engineer, Wayne Ingram. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to call my first witness.
Okay. Why don't we get all the witnesses sworn? So can anyone who's going to testify both for the applicant and for the board, please raise your right hand. And I'm going to ask all of you, do you all swear that the testimony that you're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you guys? Start there.
I do.
Okay, and identify yourselves, spell your last name, and give your relationship to the applicant or the board as the case may be.
Wayne Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M, applicant's engineer and planner.
Rob Fernandez, F-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-S, principal of Annandale Village, LLC.
Brian Bosenberg, Ford, landscape architect.
Lee Marcelli, Ford engineer.
Tom Behrens, Ford planner.
Okay.
I call Robert Fernandez.
Now, before, I see we have some members from the public here, and for those who aren't familiar, John, let's just give a little primer on how this process works. So, basically, for those here, we go through and we hear testimony from each of these witnesses. After that point, questions from the board, the professionals, go ahead.
And the public of that witness. So the board goes witness by witness. So they're calling, you're calling Mr. Fernandez first, he'll testify. When he's done testifying, board members will ask him questions, cross-examine him, so to speak. Board professionals can ask him questions, and then members of the public will be given the opportunity, questions only on what he testified about. No comments yet. Then they will call the second witness, Mr. Ingram. Same deal. He'll testify. After he finishes, the board members cross-examine him. Then the board experts, if they have any questions, ask them. Then again, open it up to the public. If the public has any cross-examination questions for Mr. Ingram. At that point, there are some board reports, which, depending on what the applicant does, they might have Mr. Ingram address the board's reports. If they do it that way, you might also hear the board experts testify during his testimony. But again, after Mr. Bisogno is done with his witnesses, if one of the board experts is not going to independently start testifying, the board will then say, okay, does anyone have any questions for anything that the board experts have said? And then you get to question them. When all the questioning of all the witnesses is done, then the board opens the hearing to the public to make sworn comments and testimony. And if you want to bring any evidence, you have anything that's not a question but a statement. So it's like that, is it Jeopardy, where you have to make the, if you're trying to make a statement, you have to make it a question. So during the questions, it's not statement time, it's question time. And then when it's statement time, then you know, you say what's on your mind.
All right. Thank you for that.
Rob, you've been sworn, Rob. Can you tell the board your occupation?
Absolutely. I'm a land developer in Somerset and Hunterdon counties.
Can you give us some projects in the area that you have developed?
Close by, I've redeveloped three, one residential building and two mixed-use buildings in downtown Highbridge.
And I understand that you have a contract with the township of Clinton to redevelop the former municipal building. Is that correct?
I do.
And can you tell the board how that came about?
Absolutely. So I think back in 2016, the town was looking for redevelopers of that project, and there was a redevelopment ordinance out for developers to review. That redevelopment ordinance, I believe, indicated that the current structure was to be redeveloped into apartments. I think, if I remember correctly, it was somewhere between 14 and 18 apartments, which could be housed in that building. I believe Marvin Joss had reached out to some local developers, me being one of them, and said, hey, you know, would you like to look at this project? in which I did, and I said, you know, that building is just not for me. I don't see that ever becoming, a nice building for downtown Annandale. It's a beautiful historic district. It's got a lot of quaint features, and unfortunately that building is not one of them. And I just didn't think I could make this work. And I said that to Marvin. I said, hey, you know, I see your redevelopment ordinance that you've written. It's not for me. And he said, well, what do you suggest? And I came up with a plan to get rid of the big white elephant, if I can call it that, retain the general store, the historic nature of the general store, and then build a separate building in the back of the project. And he was receptive to what I had to say. I then met with the subcommittee members to discuss, you know, how that was going to go down and how what my thoughts were, again, with the land planner, and that's how we came to where we are today.
What is the current condition of the former municipal building?
I would say it's pretty deplorable. There's certainly a lot of things that are falling off that building. I've driven by there several times in the past couple of years that I've been trying to work with the town on it, and I see different, you know, parts falling off the building. It's certainly rotting. It's certainly leaking. I've had the opportunity to tour the inside with Mr. Wright, and, you know, it's in horrible shape. Not much good to it.
Mr. Chairman, I have a copy of the contract between my client and the Township of Clinton.
Yeah, that would be very good to have it marked as A1.
Right. I've marked it as A1.
Okay, we have pre-marked tabs.
Okay. I'm going to need it back, John.
Okay, when you're done, make sure you give it to us.
Yes. I'm showing you a copy of the contract that you have with the Township
of identify that for the record. It's the contract dated what?
October 25th, 2017.
And what is it just called contract, or is it called
redevelopment? It's called redevelopment agreement, Annandale Village, LLC, Lock 53, Lock 3, Old Municipal, Fox Seals, Municipal Building Site.
Great, thank you.
I show you what has been marked A1 in evidence. And I show you page 25. Is that your signature on the page 25 for Annandale Village? Okay. I want to point to page 5 of the page 4. At the bottom of the page, it talks about the parking lot that we are going to be improving for the township. Can you read that paragraph for the board?
Absolutely. paragraph R, the southwest area of the property generally containing a parking lot shall be improved by the redeveloper and township in cooperation with each other. The parking lot shall be subdivided from the property and ownership thereto retained by the township. The general location of the subdivision line separating the parking lot from the portion of the property to be conveyed to the redeveloper is depicted on Exhibit A. Attached hereto and made part hereof. Redeveloper shall be responsible for engineering and design of the parking lot, installation of lighting, electrical, stormwater, curbing improvements to the parking lot. And the township shall be responsible for paving, striping, maintenance, and regulation of the parking lot, including hours of use and classes of vehicles permitted to use the parking lot. The township shall purchase the actual lighting fixtures to be installed by the redeveloper in this parking lot, said fixtures to coordinate with the lighting fixtures the redeveloper installs on the redeveloper's portion of the property. Once said lighting fixtures have been installed by the redeveloper and approved by the township, any future maintenance or replacement of the lighting fixtures shall be the responsibility of the township. The parking lot shall remain open to the public.
So what you plan on doing with the township is to work together in developing this parking lot. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're going to
put it this way. You intend to comply with that paragraph that you just read in the redevelopment agreement?
Yes.
That's the agreement. Okay.
Perfect.
That's fine.
Can you hand that agreement up if you're done with it?
And that was negotiated, the contract was negotiated over several months, is that correct?
I would say probably more than a year.
Okay. So that's what's happening to the that the 13,000 square feet on the southerly portion of the lot. And that faces West Street, is that correct?
It does.
And the entrance is going to be on West Street also?
It is.
And there's 30 spaces in that parking lot?
I believe there's 32. Oh, 30, okay, 30, yes.
And there are two handicapped spaces?
Correct.
Okay, and your understanding is, according to the contract, is that that is open to the general public when the parking lot is complete?
Correct.
And that you also have the right to use that parking space, is that correct?
Correct.
Tell us what is going to happen to the remainder of the lot in regard to the former municipal building. Let's start with that.
I'm assuming, as everybody knows here, within the footprint of that building is the Fox and Seals General Store, which was registered with the National Historic Registry as a historic landmark. That portion of the building will remain and be refurbished into the first floor commercial use and second floor of two apartments. The remaining portion of the municipal building, so let's say the remaining 12,000 some odd square feet, will be removed. That portion will be landscaped, parking lot, what have you. And then the new 10-unit building will be in the back portion of that piece of property.
So the former municipal building is about 16,000 square feet approximately, is that right?
I think so.
So you're taking down three-quarters of the of that building?
I would say.
What is going to be the use on the first floor?
On the first floor of the new general store, it's our hopes to have a general store and or a small restaurant within that space. We've actually talked with a few different operators that have had general stores, old general store restaurant, kind of mom and pop run businesses, and that is certainly the intention. But we've requested some leniency with that, in that if we can't find the right operator, we would like to be able to put a commercial use in there of other sorts.
And that was negotiated between you and the township, and it's included in the contract of sale.
If it is, can you tell me where that's in the contract of sale?
That's superseded.
I don't know. Let's find out, because what the planner is pointing out is the redevelopment ordinance amended March 10, 2017, lists as permitted principal uses two. One is multifamily residential use, and the second is restaurant use restricted to the first floor of the historic structure fronting West Street. It doesn't say any other uses. And now it says accessory uses, outdoor dining facilities, outdoor recreation, and uses which are customarily incidental to the principal use in the zone. So do you have something in there?
Yes. What did the contract be negotiated? The fact that a restaurant
Just read it. Read it. What does it say?
Present the case my way.
Okay. So far, you've presented a couple of things that turned out not to be exactly that way, but go ahead, because we're going to ask what's in the contract. Go ahead.
I'll read what's in the contract. This is on page number 4 of the contract. The amended redevelopment plan calls for, one, the rehabilitation of the old municipal Fox Seals building to accommodate a mix of uses, including a restaurant on the first floor or other commercial use, and two one-bedroom residential units on the second floor.
Okay. Can you show us where in the amended agreement it says that?
If I could interject just for 1 second. So this whole project, I think the restaurant component was based on a property that you, Mr. Fernandez, currently own and operate in Highbridge. There's a restaurant there that we looked at sort of as a model.
No, that wasn't.
Or another property in Highbridge?
Actually, the theory behind that was actually the general store in Mountainville, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
That had this mom-and-pop kind of restaurant use there, which unfortunately had some septic issues. There's no sewage there. and they had to move out, and they were talked about, you know, operating this. When we did see that redevelopment ordinance, we knew that that, you know, was very restrictive and said, you know, hey, that's the dream, and that's, you know, I want to do the best thing for the place, but, you know, I'd also like to have some flexibility, and that's why the contract.
Let's make a suggestion. It might very well be that the township would like to expand the use, but right now you're in front of the planning board, and the planning board would only have jurisdiction if there's no use variance required. And right now the planning board is supposed to, they're not supposed to apply the proposal against a developer's agreement. They're supposed to apply the plan against the redevelopment ordinance. So right now, if the board, it might, the board doesn't have jurisdiction to do what the township might want it to do, unless this redevelopment plan is amended. I just don't want them to get themselves into a situation.
Just to elaborate on your comment, the model started as a pure restaurant, and then we talked about allowing for more flexibility, so it would have some sort of food presence that would be available to the community. And so, as the ordinance says that it must be a restaurant use, I think we would look at it as, you know, what that might mean in that context.
And take a look at number four, permitted accessory uses, uses which are customarily incidental to the principal permitted use. So maybe as some sort of accessory use, you could stretch the restaurant use a little. But to make that,
I think that was the next leap. But if it was just, let's say, a dry goods retail establishment, then that would be an issue. So.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you probably don't want to ask the board to expand on the uses beyond what's permitted in the redevelopment plan, or you could be creating a big problem for yourself and for the board if they agreed to do it. Because my advice would be, you obviously don't have jurisdiction over a D1 use variance, and if you were to try to grant the use that's not permitted in the ordinance, you wouldn't have jurisdiction to do so. I don't see any other way around it. But I do see what Mr. Bisogno showed me in the redevelopment agreement, which might very well
mean. That's the current redevelopment agreement that reflects that?
Yes.
So the ordinance doesn't list it, but the agreement does?
Correct. Okay. I mean, it could simply be that the township was intending to amend the redevelopment ordinance, but it fell through the cracks. I don't know.
Well, what we'll do, we'll put in the restaurant use. If we feel that we cannot use it for a restaurant because we can't find anybody appropriate to operate the restaurant, we may ask the township to amend the redevelopment ordinance to allow us to use it for other commercial. Because that was the intent.
That sounds like a reasonable approach.
Yes, that's a reasonable approach.
Can we ask them to amend it anyway? Can we ask them to amend it anyway? Can we ask them to amend it anyway?
So we're talking about the first floor, and it's going to be a restaurant use,
right?
Or some accessory use, you know, some accessories with that too.
Mm-hmm.
What about on the second floor?
The second floor, and I think the board has the preliminary layout plans are 2 one-bedroom apartments. So very similar to what that building may have been at one point, where maybe Mr. Fox or Mr. Seals lived above that. The same kind of approach, although this is going to be 2 one-bedroom apartments, but to give the appearance like the shop owner lives upstairs. That's the intent of the use there and the look of the building, the original look of the building.
Can you tell us anything about the material that you'll be using and the colors and items of that nature?
Absolutely. So on both these buildings, the State Historic Board was very specific.
Can you hold up for 1 second?
Sure.
Do you guys have the? We have architecturals in our packages. Do you guys have architecturals in your packages?
We do not.
There's none. That's why I was going to bring that up. I thought they were going to present.
Do you have additional architecturals here tonight?
I do. We do. We have a plan.
Like
if it's done or if they're from the one you submitted, are they?
Yeah, no, if this is exactly what's been submitted, you can just go through them. Stranger things have happened. Whatever.
You ready?
It might be worth, since we're seeing it, but also for the public, because I think these are going to be things that they want to see as well.
Have him go through
it. Go through this for us a little more.
Through it. No.
That's okay.
Yeah,
you can. That's okay. Not a problem.
All right.
I'm going to steal one of the chairs at the end.
And just for the record, what they're showing now is in the board file. It just somehow, it didn't make it to the board members' packets. It made it to our packets. So there's no need to mark them as exhibits because they're already in the board file, but there is a need now to go into more detail than you otherwise would.
Absolutely. Let me just start with the history of the whole design, what have you. So when we originally looked at this project and said, hey, listen, we really don't like the idea of renovating the big white elephant. We wanted to separate the two. That opened kind of a whole new can of worms because of this historic building here. So in that, the 10-unit apartment building behind this is on the same lot and block. It falls under the same guidelines that the State Historic Preservation Board has jurisdiction over the brand new building because it's on the same lot and block. So the town obviously has hired Dennis Burton Associates, which is the consultant that has worked with Mr. Behrens and myself on these plans and has also interacted with the state, who interacts with the national guidelines for historic buildings. So it's kind of a long, drawn-out process. But at any rate, this AutoCAD drawing is the drawing of what we feel and what the experts, the historic experts, feel. Sorry if I'm back too good. Is the original look of the Fox and Seals General Store in downtown Annandale in the late 1700s. So as you can see, you've got.
Excuse me 1 second. Can you just tell me, just from my notes, what page are you referring to in that?
As you can see, this is the front of the building. This front's on West Street. Okay, this is what you would see if you're standing out in the street. It's generally, very similar to a general store that you may have seen in other areas of New Jersey, in that the first floor has a double entry door, windows on either side of the entry door, a covered porch roof, and then, three windows above, and that's where the shopkeeper would typically live, what have you. That's where the apartments will be. If you look at the right side of the building, so this would be facing the church, we've got a series of windows. Standing seam metal roof is what was thought to be the original roof on that building from some historic photos and what have you that are around. And then a series of windows and an entry door on the side of the building that faces, again, the public parking lot that is between this building and the church. The left side of the building, which obviously faces to the north, and currently has covered area that was maybe used for loading or something. I'm not sure if it's for the town or the fire department. That portion would be removed. Obviously, all the other portions that are around this building will be removed. This building, the original frame, will stand, and it'll have a much more general store look than the big building that's there now. So as far as the coloring and what have you, that has all been determined by the state, the municipal historian, Dennis Berlin, and the state. So they've kind of given us the guidelines that hey, this is what you're going to do on the back building. Maybe we want to enter these into
Before we get to the back,
sure.
The color has already been determined by the...
Well,
what about material?
Let me say this. We don't have the colors down yet because there is some investigation that has to be done once we start the demolition as to where we're going to try and pull some paint off of the original siding, if we can get to some of it, and try and determine what maybe the original color was. And try and reenact that original color. The siding appears to be in pretty poor condition from what we've determined, although we can't really tell 100%. So we're assuming that it'll all be new siding that will be on the building. The new siding will be a cementitious wood clapboard siding, and the roof currently is planned as a standing seam metal roof. Again, that all that was determined through the state historic preservation commission and this the historian Bergman Associates.
Okay. Take us through the floor plan now.
Of this building?
Yes.
Okay. So right now the. You know, we've just kind of determined that this would be an open first floor plan until we have a tenant that decides, hey, this is what's going to happen here, this is how we're going to use this. But there are some factors that are very determining on this, in that obviously the double front door that faces West Street off to the right here, the side porch that faces the parking lot, and that entryway is there. And then this entryway, which is in the back northeast corner of the building, which is where you get access to the second floor of the apartments. So those components are not going to change. Right now, the building just has an open floor plan that just shows, hey, this is what can be used here, and this is what can go on here. The second floor, this is page A1, by the way.
Thank you.
The second floor, which is page A2, shows basically the two apartments. So again, this is the entry to the apartments, a set of stairs. You come in up to the top of the stairs, make a right, and there's a living room, bedroom, kitchen for apartment one, let's say, and then down further down the hallway again, living room, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom for apartment two. So, you know, very similar to what would have been there a couple hundred years ago. In this case, just two apartments rather than, you know, say a multi-bedroom apartment for the shopkeepers.
The apartments are approximately 1,000 square feet each?
Approximately. I'd say a little less, maybe 900.
Right. And the commercial use downstairs is about 1,800
yeah,
square feet?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the, there was a question regarding the loading space. Do you need a loading space here for, what's your experience regarding loading spaces?
So I think, you know, within the municipal ordinance, it, you know, requires some kind of commercial loading. You know, in the size of this building and the accessibility literally on both sides of the building, I don't think that loading is a huge concern here. And I also would think that with the abandonment of West Street, I mean of Washington Ave, we're going to have a 30-foot-wide right-of-way through that area. You know, off hours, even during hours, it will be very accessible for somebody to get passed through there if somebody were bringing in food, let's say. I just don't see a need, you know, for a loading concern in this project.
And what about the trash container? Where would that be about?
So if I can go back to the site plan. Oh, I don't have the site plan up here yet.
You better mark that.
Yeah. We mark this one?
Yeah. We're up to A2.
Down the lower right-hand corner.
Not the microphone down.
Oh,
and what is it? Identify for the record. A2 is a color version of what?
This is the overall site exhibit.
Okay. Does it have a
is it out of the package, but it's...
It's a colorized, it's slightly modified.
Okay, so it's a color version entitled what?
Overall site exhibit.
Okay.
So currently, the garbage dumpster area will be a...
Can you put it up? Just put it up on the board.
Yeah, I'm trying to show that's
all right.
Show them first, but the garbage enclosure, which will be obviously an architectural feature of enclosure, so we're not looking at dumpsters and that, will be right in this area. It's in the northeast corner of the Fox and Seal building. That enclosure will serve the apartment building and the general store.
Let's talk about the apartment house that's being located in the rear of this lot on the easterly side of the lot, fronting on Center Street. Okay. Can you describe that for the board?
Absolutely. Can we mark these?
How many exhibits you got?
Two.
So if you have a colorized version, A3 will be a colorized what?
The colorized version of the architectural plan that you guys have copies of.
Okay, so what sheet
of
A what?
This is labeled design. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, A1.
Okay, this is a colorized version of architectural plan A1.
Yep. So again,
Mike, can you pick up the one of the right?
Just
hold, even though it's a desk mic, hold it in your hand.
Sure. Is that better?
I thought you said you didn't have the colors picked out yet.
Actually, this is on the rear building.
This is the rear. Okay.
So the front building, we don't have them picked out yet because they're going to be determined when we are able to remove some of the original siding on the building and see if we can determine what color the building originally was.
So
that's the theory behind the front building.
Your goal is to pick a color for the front building to match what it used to be.
Exactly. Okay. That color may determine the color of the back building. However, this has already been approved with the State Historic Board. These colors, which obviously don't show up too well on paper and ink, have been approved through them and through the guidelines of Dennis Bertland Associates, the historic liaison.
Could you just describe for the record the color of those buildings that have been approved?
Absolutely.
It looks like, from here, it looks like a beige-ish color.
Yeah.
How would you describe
it? I don't have the exact coloring, but I would say a beige-ish yellow siding with maybe a beige tan accent on the roof line and a brown-gray roof shingle.
Is the brown-gray the color of the standing seam roof on the historic building as well?
That has not been determined. Again, looking to get the hopefully get some of the original coloring, if we can determine that.
Okay.
If not, then we're going to have to go through the historic consultant to say, hey, what do we do now? We don't have the exact coloring. How do we determine?
Do you have something in writing from either the State Historic Commission or Dennis Bertland approving those colors?
I don't know if that's been determined in that.
So how do you know they've been approved then? You're saying they've been approved?
We have approval from the State Historic Board, which you guys should have a copy of that letter.
Yes. But it was on file. We submitted that with the application.
If they've approved the color? Because it says, please note, I'm looking at page 2, and it says, please note that although Assistant Commissioner Borznazian approved the adaptive reuse of the structure in concept, all plans for the original building must still be reviewed and approved by the HPO, that's the Historic Preservation Office, prior to commencement of any construction as outlined in condition one. So it doesn't sound like they approved the color.
We're talking about that's the front building.
Do we have something on the back, on the rear building?
It should be in that as well.
Yeah, I see.
And so the history of this project is we did have a long 6-month or 8-month application period with the State Historic Preservation Office, where basically they gave us all their guidelines and they had us, or they had the township hire Dennis Bertland to basically oversee the project. So he's really the one assessing the various components of it, offering recommendations to see what works. And I think generally they're looking to him to approve everything. And
exactly.
Then I thought the state had to some degree approved the architecture and then kind of left things in Dennis's hands. I don't know if
right. Maybe there's another letter. This letter is dated March 29th, 2017. Maybe there's another letter. This one doesn't look like it. This one, here, I'll give you a letter to take a look at. This one doesn't even differentiate. It doesn't even acknowledge that there's two buildings on the site. Do you have another one?
I'm not finding one, no.
You absolutely submitted that letter into the board file, but do you know if there's another subsequent letter?
I don't think
letter?
There's another letter, no.
Well, I think ultimately what the board needs is to have Dennis's final input, which I don't think he had this application.
Can you just describe something for the record, because I don't fully understand it?
Yes.
I know who Dennis is.
Yes.
How is Dennis related to this project? Is he a township expert? Is he an applicant's expert? Is he
He's a township expert. Again, as in order to get the project authorization from the state, the township had to go and get a
historic
Historic Preservation Office. Okay. The township had to work with a historic preservation expert to basically oversee the design and implementation of the project.
So the township retained
Dennis Bertland, Historic Preservation.
Okay. Do we have anything in writing from him?
Not that I'm aware of the latest plans. I know Mr. Fernandez was working with Dennis, and they were working toward a final approval, but I don't know what Dennis's final thoughts were, so that might have to
be. Do you know anything about this?
No, I don't.
This obviously refers to the new building that's being accepted by the State Historic Preservation Building in paragraph one there. But it doesn't refer to the coloring. Specifically, and I may be
It says the township shall retain the services of a qualified historic preservation specialist, which apparently is Dennis Bertland,
mm-hmm.
who meets the National Park Service's professional qualification standards and has been approved by the HPO to monitor the easement and review and approve any proposed changes to ensure compatibility with the surrounding historic districts.
We have no problem making.
We'll get a letter from him. I mean, I don't think it's a big issue. That letter obviously addresses the rear building.
Right, but for the record, so it doesn't, at least we don't have anything in the record that's approved any of the colors.
Correct.
John, do we need those approvals, or can we condition on those approvals?
You could have conditioned upon state approval.
I think that's clearly, they're doing what the intent was and is, which is to be historically accurate and consistent with the village and hiring a historic expert. I just think that the point was made here that the colors we've not seen them get approved yet. So
put it this way.
We've got to run through that process, whichever we do here, that has to be done.
And it sounds like, although, again, you're not at that point yet, but if you got to the point where they met the ordinance, the redevelopment plan, ordinance requirements for approval, you would just make it one of the conditions would be subject to HBO approval of the buildings and the color of the building.
Right.
Put that on them.
But what I'm hearing is they're waiting to see any historic data or info on the original Fox Seals building, and that may drive the whole scheme.
Which they won't know until you do demo.
Right.
And that was the understanding, is that the uncovering some.
But I want it to be clear that approval from the State Historic Association it is for the entire site, and it specifically talks about the new building in that letter. So it just doesn't refer to the coloring, which I guess I had misspoken. But I know that Dennis and I have had numerous conversations.
But what you're hearing the board say is not that they don't care about the color. But what you're hearing them say is they have no problem, since it's a historic structure, conditioning it on the HPO.
Right.
Reviewing and determining that issue,
that's
not
fine.
Them.
Fine. We're good with that. So at any rate, this building, which is in the rear of the property, shown on the site plan in the back here, the dark brown, this would be the front of the building that would face West Street. Not actually west. This is the front of the building, so this would be the entrance set back from the general store on West Street. In that, the rear of the building is fairly important because it faces West Street. We were very concerned.
In Center Street.
Excuse me, Center Street. We were very concerned about the aesthetic appeal of the building on Center Street, so that it looks like it's also the front of the building, although this is not the main entrance. So as you can see, there's some architectural detail here that gives it a very, you know, subdued look from center. And then on either side of the building, you can see they're very similar. The sides of the building would be almost identical on both sides. One side faces the, I guess, a commercial mixed-use property to the south, and then the other side, which faces a residential house, to the north.
That building is approximately 9,000 square feet?
Correct.
It's 2.5 stories?
Yep. So we have 6 one-bedroom apartments and 4 two-bedroom apartments within this building.
Is that right? Is it 6 one-bedroom?
Yep.
Okay. You talked about the color. You talked about the materials. Is that part of the overall approval from the state?
Yeah,
it would seem to be, right?
It certainly would. Although, I guess I'd have to, you know, pull that up. I mean, obviously, they were very specific on approving what they've seen here in that letter, but coloring.
Just understand,
clear.
In general, this board has been fairly involved when it comes to colors and material, but what you're hearing them is this is a historic structure. You're hearing them say that there's a level of expertise that the HPO has that they don't.
Right.
And you're hearing them say, as I understand it, that they're willing, if it comes to that, to impose a condition saying HPO is going to do all that.
That's acceptable.
Yep.
What about the number of parking spaces? I think the plan indicates 29 spaces on lot 2.01. Is that correct? 3.01.
Right. So, essentially, when this project is complete, you know, the bottom half of this will be the township of Clinton's, and then the top half will be Annandale Village. And there are 29 spaces overall within this portion of the site. With the residential components, we calculate we need 23 spaces. So there's 6 additional spaces, which obviously could be used for the business on the first floor or overflow parking or what have you. So we exceed the required parking for the project.
Could you say that again? You exceed the parking for the proposed project. Does that include calculating the restaurant use per seat and indoor and outdoor use?
It does not. So let me say this portion of the project doesn't. With the commercial or with the municipal lot, we would exceed it, yes.
Okay, hold it.
Part of the agreement was.
Part of the agreement is that we're able to use the municipal lot for.
I understand that, but I think that the calculations that I was provided and on your site plan show the first floor is a retail use and use the calculations for retail use. The calculations for parking for restaurant use are quite different than a retail use. So I want to know what the differential is if you are using the entire first floor as a restaurant use and using the outdoor dining. What is the projected parking demand for that use?
Well, I think if we were to determine the
area of the restaurant with the kitchen, minus the kitchen, I believe the ordinance is 50 square feet per vehicle.
No, it's per seat.
Per seat? Oh, so it's one space per seat in the restaurant?
No, it's not. I can tell you what.
Here's the ordinance, Kathy. Take this. What the redevelopment plan says on page 14 under provision 5.8, parking, loading, and circulation. Parking and loading requirements for the FMB redevelopment area zone, that's what this is now in. This was in an OB1 zone, and it was rezoned to FMB, shall comply with the residential site improvement standards for the multifamily and affordable housing. And then it says, any additional parking, it says 23 spaces are required for the residential units per table three above. The remaining four are designated for restaurant use. In addition, 32 spaces are proposed for the southerly parking area to be subdivided. Any additional parking required for the restaurant use shall be satisfied in this public parking area. However, the restaurant area and seating shall be limited consistent with an appropriate balance of on-site and off-site parking. Now, I'm going to ask Tom, since you're the drafter, what does this mean?
The intent was that, one, they had to meet the RSIS requirement for the residential.
Right, which they, the which 23 they, met. They do.
And the idea was that this restaurant concept was going to be a small little mom and pop, a few different tables. And that, just let me finish the thought. So there'd be a few extra spaces left over in the lot that Mr. Fernandez retains. And whatever the overflow requirement would be would fall into the community parking.
So there's four remaining spaces.
Correct.
They designated for the restaurant. So there's, are there 32 spaces in that municipal lot?
There's 30.
There's 30 now. Okay. So there's 30 spaces in the municipal lot. So 30 plus 4 is 34 spaces. So doing this backwards, what's the requirement for parking for a restaurant?
One for every 50 square feet if it's an eating and drinking. Fast food, we need to know the definition of whether or not you're a fast food restaurant or a restaurant. Okay.
Can we assume for argument's sake, or actually for resolution sake, that this is not going to be a fast food restaurant?
We won't be coming back for McDonald's here.
Okay, so it's one for
no fast. Okay, no fast food.
Well, hang on. Just our definition for fast food is we have counter service.
I understand. They just said no fast food.
How about we just say we'll comply with the parking ordinance?
Well, I think we need to know now because if it creates a design waiver, the board needs to approve that. I can't approve that.
Listen, one.
Maybe after that.
Kathy, give me.
One for every 50 square feet.
So one,
I think it's more appropriate for our engineer to testify regarding that because I think he's prepared to do that.
Okay, but so the standard for a plain restaurant is one space for every 50 square feet. And what would it be if it was a fast food restaurant?
One for every three seats, whether inside or outside the building, plus one for every 75 square feet of floor area.
So one for every 75 square feet plus...
One for every three seats.
One for every... three seats. So maybe you can do some calculation before you testify about if you have a total of 34 spaces, if you were a restaurant, what size could that restaurant be? Because the requirement is one space for every 50 square feet. If you were a fast food restaurant, even though the applicant said they'd agree not to be, let's just get all the facts into the record. How large could a fast food restaurant be if the requirement is one space for every 75 square feet, but also one space for every three seats? And why don't we leave that for Mr. Ingram? He now has a little homework assignment that he can do before he testifies. So, Vince, why don't you go on and...
We had a question regarding the landscaping. Is that correct? There's a report from Mr. Bosenberg.
Yep.
Did you see that report?
I did.
It's dated July 31st, 2018.
It is.
Is there anything in that report that you have an issue about, you have a question about, or that you cannot comply with?
Yeah, I'd just like to run through the report if we could, Mr. Bosenberg, and just make sure we have a clear understanding on both sides here.
What's the date of Vosenberg's report?
July 31st.
2018. So under project comments, you know, you indicated you wanted to have somebody with a little bit more landscape prowess to help develop the plan for certain buildings. Work with you on that.
So that's item A?
Yep. Item B, I'm going to just say we're okay with. Item C, item D, item E, we're all okay with.
Put it this way. Tell us any items you're not okay with or you want to discuss. All the rest we're going to assume you're okay with.
Item F, on the south side of the building, you're indicating we should remove this grass strip here, if I remember, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, there's a 2 or 3 foot wide strip between the curb and the sidewalk. And our experience, that ends up being with the car overhang, and I just think you ought to just pave it.
So we're kind of at our limit of lot coverage.
I figured that might be the case. So we'll have to shift the sidewalk down.
So shift the sidewalk
because of the overhang of the car.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you okay with that as it stands?
Let me ask you this: if they went, this is lot coverage that you'd be over on.
Right.
So again, it's the board's call on it. But if the board asked you hypothetically, what do you think would make a better plan from a landscape planning perspective? Strict conformance with the lot coverage, but having this overhang issue where the grass is eventually not going to be grass, or eliminating it and them having to apply for a C2 lot coverage variance. What do you think would be better from a planning perspective?
Would be to eliminate the grass and apply for the C2 variance.
So another homework assignment for Wayne before he testifies. See if that strip was eliminated and replaced with some sort of pervious coverage, how much would the lot coverage go up, and what type of variance would the applicant need?
Item H, add shade trees along the south side of the municipal lot. So, again, in my understanding that we're not going to be doing the landscaping for the municipal lot, I think that we are going to do something along the street here to keep it consistent. But
So before, just so I can answer the question, your plan shows landscaping on that lot, though.
Right. They asked us to show an improved lot.
So why can't you comply with my comment even though you're not doing it?
You already show
landscaping on the plan, so why not do it the right way, and whoever's responsible for it.
That's fine.
Gets to put it.
Absolutely.
We have a contract with the town regarding what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I thought you mentioned earlier that you'll be responsible. The developer will install the curbing, the stormwater management, the landscaping, and the lighting. That's not the case.
I believe it was just the stormwater management. I mean, we're going to comply with whatever's in the contract. So one way or the other, that's fine. We're in agreement then with item H. Explore adding shade trees along the north side of Washington Street. So we're talking about up in here.
Excuse me, could you put the landscape plan up? Because we're looking at the plan that's not the right plan, and I don't think anybody knows what's going on here. I don't either.
Members of the public, you've seen me get up on occasion and whisper things to various board members. Just so you know, I am giving them legal advice, which is confidential, instead of taking a break in the meeting and saying, oh, let's make a motion to go into closed session and give legal advice. Things rolling, I do it that way. I do it in public so you can see. Now, I'm gonna just for the record, even though I don't normally do this, the question that was just asked of me, which is important, and I'll give you the legal advice that I gave, the question was, why are we referring to the regular ordinance requirement for restaurant parking? Doesn't the redevelopment plan ordinance supersede the regular ordinance?
So my answer was, yes, the redevelopment plan does supersede the regular ordinance. However, by its very terms, it says the following. This is paragraph 9.1 on page 25. It says, this redevelopment plan shall supersede all use, area, and bulk provisions of the land use regulations. That's chapter 165 of the township. In all situations where development regulations are not specifically addressed herein, then the Clinton Township land use regulations shall remain in effect. So you then go to the parking section of the redevelopment plan ordinance, and it says, like I read before, it said 23 spaces are required for the residential units per the chart. It has a chart in there. The remaining 4 spaces will be designated for the restaurant use. Then it says, in addition, 32 spaces are proposed. Well, it's now 30, so we have to make that not a correction. We have to adjustment. Thank you to our court reporter for that. So, in addition, 30 spaces are proposed for the southerly parking area to be subdivided. Then it says, any additional parking required for the restaurant use shall be satisfied in this public parking area, period. However, comma, the restaurant area and seating shall be limited, consistent with an appropriate balance of on-site and off-site parking. And then it doesn't have a standard. So in my opinion, that's why I asked Kathy to go to the ordinance for the standard for restaurant use. So you know who you are up there who asked me the question. And not that all questions aren't very important, but this one I thought was important enough to say what the question was and give what my answer was. Sorry about that.
Okay. Mr. Bosenberg's comment, Jay, explore adding shade trees along the north side of Washington Street, which I guess is in this area. Depending on what goes on, or, you know, we can certainly talk to the neighbor and see what, you know, what.
Well, I was thinking, since you said you had the extra space there, and I'm also a little concerned about the activity there and the residence that's there. So I was just trying to get a little bit of more buffering in there. I mean, I think one of the things that you didn't talk about, which maybe your engineer is going to talk about, is going to be the difference in the scale of what's there now for that front building, the Fox Hill General Store, and what you're proposing. I didn't do the calculation, but you're taking at least, what, two-thirds of that building away? So the scale of that's going to be quite different than what's there now. I mean, granted, you are adding the building in the back, which will change things visually, but I think that building is going to change that neighborhood, I think, for the better. But I'm just, overall, you didn't explain that I think what is one of the most important things, and I'm not sure if that's your job or your engineer's job, but I think that's important for this discussion, too, to help frame this building and give it scale and make it look as historic as we can and fit into the neighborhood, hence my comment.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, if we can all envision a general store, I would think that most people have driven by one in some historic portion of Hunterdon County. I mean, this is the iconic general store. It's, you know, the standard, whatever, 40 feet wide by 80 feet long, and it's certainly, you know, three quarters of that building that's there now is coming down. I don't know of a better way to explain it, you know, without having, you know, a vision of it or a picture of it with the original stuff, but there are some original pictures of the Fox and Seals building online that we could certainly bring up, and there certainly the town has them as well in their redevelopment ordinance. But I'm willing to explore putting a couple shade trees over here. I mean, we're talking about 3 or 4 trees, and that's not an issue for us.
Okay, thank you.
Can you just clarify how does that respond?
Oh, that's I. I'm sorry. That's I.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now I'm with you. I wasn't before. He was talking apples, and I was thinking oranges.
The next item that we have, I guess he's asking for a question. It says, what is the paving material?
One more thing, since I was all messed up, so to speak.
That's item L.
Right, but so what is the resolution of I?
We're going to work with Brian and discuss, and I guess the neighbors, too, and discuss if they want shade trees, which would be obviously right on there.
Okay, so you no longer object to H, you no longer object to I.
Right.
Okay, what's next? So right now, the only thing outstanding for Wayne is F, right?
Right.
Wayne's working on F.
L, what is the paving material? I assume you're talking about sidewalks, or?
Well, on the plans, I couldn't find, unless I missed it. It just looked like a stippled pattern, and it didn't label it as...
I mean, they're going to be concrete sidewalks.
Okay, but I'm not sure it says that on the, anywhere on the site plan.
Okay, put it this way.
What is it?
What is it going to be? We'll make it a
concrete.
So if you're all right with that, we'll say he's got to add a note to the plan.
I have to add a note to the plan because I looked at it and okay. Add a note, please.
Add a note. Got it.
Will the outdoor seating area also be concrete?
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Item two, we're willing to work with you on. Item three, foundation plantings along the retail space. We currently show nothing here, which was a requirement of the municipal historian. He didn't want anything along the foundation. He said, you know, the original building would have had nothing landscape-wise, and that's the way he wants it. So,
okay, so that's – so backing up to what you said earlier, John, about how we're using the redevelopment plan to guide this application, in that it says the building should have landscape treatment on all sides, so I'm thinking we need some kind of relief there?
Yeah, we do.
I think I quoted – I picked it out of that –
yeah, I'm in the landscaping section 511.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's all right. Hold on.
Is it the quotation that's in the your letter? Landscape beds with informal configuration should be located throughout the site along buildings and open areas.
I read where it said the building should have.
It says item three says landscape beds with informal configurations should be located throughout the side along all buildings and in open areas.
And I think side is a type of...
Site.
I think
site.
It could be, yeah. S-I-T-E.
So I'm going to make a suggestion, and that is, which of the plans does the board have in their package? We have, in other words, site plans, and we have architectural.
Site plans. We have site plans.
You guys want to take a quick break and just look at these architecturals up close before you...
I would.
Yeah.
You want to just give them like 5 or 10 minutes to look? Because then maybe maybe they'll have questions after looking, or maybe they won't have questions after looking. Do you have anything else that you want to tell the board about the architecturals?
Are we not done with the landscaping, or...?
We do have 4.4.
We should finish the landscape.
Yeah, finish the landscape.
Finish the landscape.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so on item number four.
Put it this way. So let's go back to then item three, which you guys have to decide. I was going to say on this little break when they're looking at that, you guys can talk amongst yourselves to see if you want to add foundation plantings or if you want to apply for. I got to figure out if it's a.
Well, can we just refer to the state, to the municipal historian on that? I mean, he was very specific in that.
Do you have that in writing from him?
No, but I mean, he's the one who's got.
I understand, but if, in other words, the board has to judge this plan against the redevelopment plan. So, if you're saying that he prefers not to have landscape beds there, you're going to need a variance from the requirement in the plan. The basis of your variance is going to be, well. He wants it. He's not here. We got nothing in writing for him. I don't know how to resolve that yet, but I thought I'd figure when these guys are looking at that, you guys can talk, and then I can talk with Mr. Bisogno and try to figure out what we should do with this.
So one other point to that. I know exactly what the Historic Commission is thinking here, is they don't want a suburban plant. That's exactly what they're not looking for, a row of rhododendrons there. So in my mind, this should be a historic plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But since we don't have the historic report, I don't know where we are here. So it looks like you're going to need some kind of relief this evening.
So let's keep on going, but let's hold that one, but we're going to have to discuss that.
Okay. let's
That's
see.
Item three. We're going to hold what Brian has just suggested, is that he doesn't think it's inconsistent with what Bertrand has said. If the board required an historic planting, you know, to look like something they would have planted at the time, although the witness just said that Bertram said that nothing would have been planted at the time. But again, we don't have Bertram here. That's what I want to talk to them about on the break.
We gave similar relief to the Beaverbrook Homestead for no foundation plantings in exchange for grasses, which were historically appropriate according to 100%. Them and Brian at that point.
Yeah, that's because that was just, that's a 100% affordable housing.
Of course. No, I know. I'm saying.
And one of the reasons.
But they were saying it was...
Right. One of the reasons you granted the variance is because the board, when you have a 100% affordable housing project, the COA second round rules say you have to be flexible in granting relief. This is not a 100% affordable housing project. But let us talk.
I think this gets back to that whole... how does the historic expert fit into this...
Right. That's what I got to talk to them about, because I don't know.
If it's possible, why wouldn't we just say, hey, Mr. Bosenberg, why don't you deal with Dennis Burton yourselves and come up with what you want, and we'll do it. I mean, we're not talking about 10,000 acres of landscape.
Okay. No. That would work fine as long as if Burton says nothing, then...
You're still going to need relief from the
Yeah, but, okay, so, okay. How about you grant relief to the extent that... Bertland says you shouldn't do it, and you have a condition saying that Brian and Bertland have to confer.
It's and the seed foundation, though, right? Not forever.
Right, just for the foundation plantings. And again, the theory would be that if Bertland, who is the historic expert, and he's the township's historic expert, if he convinces Brian that historically it's better not to have anything, if you grant the C2 variance up front, then they don't have to come back here. And again, when we talk like this, don't think anything's a done deal, but we'd like to talk out all the alternatives so by the time we get to the end, we don't have to, you know, backtrack. So how does that sound to the board?
Perfect.
Fine.
How does that sound to the applicant?
Very good.
Brian, how does that sound to you?
I can work with him.
Okay. Now you're on four.
Anything else on the architectural report?
I just have to throw one sentence. I'm struggling with the absolutism of the historic side. I got to be honest with you. You know, we didn't have grass. We didn't have lights. We didn't have a lot of things in the historic world. So should we not put lights on the side of the building? I know I'm being facetious, but when I think of a historic district and historic homes, they tend to have some landscaping. And I think if the blanket response is, well, no, historically there was nothing but chickens pecking I don't think that's what we're going for.
This building from what year? What vintage? 18 what?
I think it's 1780 or 1860.
1886, I think, is what.
And I'm clearly not trying to say put all kinds of fancy stuff in, but I think we just got to be careful that we're not just sort of ceding to the historic to say, nothing ever goes anywhere, and that's good. I just want to make sure.
So I think we should phrase that as it would be historically correct for the period. And that solves all the problems.
And that is what the state ultimately wanted. They gave.
We should be aligned here.
The state gave certain parameters.
The landscape plan went to the state as well.
They did. They basically said what Brian just said.
They approved it, already. Obviously, your landscape comments, and that's fine. We're willing to work with
it.
He can work with the historian, and then they can both, the historian can go to the state and say, hey, this is what the guy wants.
Okay, again, though, you keep on saying the HPO approved it. It says it's subject to...
We have no objection to putting in plants that are historically accurate.
Or, historically correct for the period, or if Bertland thinks that there should be no landscape foundation plantings, then no landscape foundation plantings, correct?
Yes.
After he convinces me.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes.
Because I know for that period there would be typically some period correct landscaping. It wasn't a lot. It was a few perennials. There were a few things, but it's not just chickens.
By the way, when did Thomas Edison invent the light bulb and do the whole electric thing?
I wasn't a history major, so I
was it the 1800s?
That's Google.
I don't want that too hard.
We probably got electrification out here in the 19-somethings, the early...
Yeah, right, that's true. You're way out in the...
Are we done with the landscaping? Yeah. Any other questions?
So, how about the screening stuff? I missed where we were on that, like the parking lots and...
We never got the number 4.
Yeah.
Nothing else you object to in the report?
You know, there's some questions that we would like to work together on, you know, labeling some grass panels and, I can't imagine that we can't come to some agreement. It's impossible. We're landscaping 10,000 acres.
No, I agree, but I think I just want to, like number 4, screen the west end of the parking lots. I mean, is that, did we stop before we got to that, or did we?
Yeah, we didn't do all the 4 yet.
So we're talking about screening the west end of the parking lot. Well, this is the town's parking lot, and if I remember correctly, I'm not doing that landscaping, but if I am, I'll do it. And if not, then the town's going to do it. So I'm okay with this comment.
But the challenge is you show some landscaping on the plan for the township portion. So I'm reviewing it saying
right.
Screen this. So you're going to have to amend the plan to do what we're asking.
So, and maybe, John, you can help me. From my perspective, we can't stop and apply and not apply certain ordinances and standards because there's a dispute potentially, or it's not resolved.
Correct.
Who's going to pay it. Right. I go back to Mr. Rosenberg's comment, which is we ought to put in what is approved and let the parties.
Right, they can decide who's paying
out.
For what. Right.
But we can't just say, well, they're going to do half and stop there because there's no agreement. So
correct.
We need a fully appropriate landscape plan.
The difference, this is very good, the difference between the first matter that you heard tonight, which was a township owned site. Okay?
Right.
Which is immune from the zoning ordinance. But they were here for a different reason. They were here for a Section 31 capital review. But they were immune from the ordinance. Even though this is owned by the township, there's a contract to sell it to this redeveloper, and there's a redevelopment ordinance which governs the property. The property includes the parking lot, which eventually is going back to the township, but the chairman is correct that for purposes of this site plan application, no part of this property is immune from the zoning ordinance. So the board has to view the property as a whole, apply the redevelopment plan, and then they have this agreement between the two of them. The township is paying for certain stuff and installing certain stuff, and these guys are doing certain stuff. And that's
don't
between
work that
them.
Out. Right.
Right. That's not the board's worry. Okay. That's not your business. That's not your concern.
Right. So I was just trying to sort of complete 4 all these points where we sort of said we're going to wait and see. I don't know that there is a wait and see.
There is a wait and see.
What's an acceptable plan right. to us? And then the two parties can go work that out amongst themselves.
As long as there's some indication in the resolution that it'll be worked out between the parties as to who's responsible.
Why does it have to be? You got an agreement on it.
Yes.
It's just saying what your plan has to be revised to show.
I don't want the fact that...
So put notes on the plan saying paving in the parking lot by the township. I mean...
So John, I'm not a lawyer, but what if you said, so they go work it out? What if they can't work it out?
Right.
I mean, you're just then it's going to come back here, I guess.
Right. That's why you put the notes, whatever the contract says, put those notes on the plan.
That's agreeable.
Number 4, should we talk about that?
Number 4.
Just to finish that, and then we'll take our architectural break.
obviously what you're referring to.
So you're in agreement to that, with that?
Yeah, I mean...
Okay. E?
D, the parking lot buffer ends in any way. Extend the plans for the use. We're talking about this down here.
There's a big hole there. I don't see any plantings.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll show the AC units and screening. That's fine.
Okay.
And your comment about rhododendrons, that's fine. Come up with something else.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
From where I sit, the Bosenberg report dated July 31, 2018. I have the applicant agreeing to everything except item 1F, which the board's going to discuss when Mr. Ingram testifies, and item 3, which my notes say that a foundation landscape C2 variance, again, this is proposed until the... A foundation landscape C2 variance would be granted from the strict application of the redevelopment ordinance to the extent needed to provide foundation landscaping historically correct for the period, or no foundation landscaping to be determined by both Dennis Bertrand and Brian Bosenberg.
Just to add to that comment, too, while we may be increasing the impervious coverage, the concept had a sidewalk going from the new multifamily building connecting to the restaurant and trash area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in this site plan. It seems like maybe it should be if you can do it, and also that that would further impact the impervious coverage. So do you have any thoughts?
Well, we did have that on there, you're correct. We kind of came along the south side here,
yes.
Just outside of the park line. And in looking at it and kind of thinking about how people conduct their business, mm-hmm. we felt that it would be much better served to create a landscape buffer along here rather than a walkway that we feel no one would really use. I mean, now let's think about it. You're coming out of your building here. Are you really going to kind of make a left and then walk around the side to come over right to here? I just don't see that happening. I know I wouldn't do it. I can't imagine any people would. Come out here and walk straight to the thing, and that's that. I mean, cars here and everything else is here, so you walk through the parking lot anyway. It's not like it's a high-used parking lot. It's not like there's a lot of traffic there. I just didn't think that the sidewalk was a good idea in this instance.
It just seems to pose a safety issue, and not the alternative. I just wonder if that puts the site in jeopardy. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the board, I suppose, but I think from our perspective, we like that aspect. I don't know how much further that would impact the impervious coverage, but I understand your point, what people do, but at the same time, I think there needs to be that connectivity for pedestrians.
I can do that, I'm sure.
But does that increase your impervious coverage to the point where you need relief for that? Okay.
It's also going to impact the landscape buffer along that.
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
So I guess it's really
the
question.
Sidewalk was removed.
Does the board feel one is more important than the other? Safety is always, of course, on the priority of things.
Can you show me on that plan what you just described about that sidewalk?
Yeah.
Just turn that so I can see the thing.
Yeah. So. Right now, this is the entrance to the building.
Mm-hmm.
This is the parking lot. This is the dumpster shed. So we're talking about a sidewalk that originally went along this area. And, you know, in thinking about it and seeing what goes on in the current buildings that I have, that I manage, that have the same sort of situation, nobody really takes the sidewalk. Nobody's going to come out of here with a garbage bag, walk left, and then walk all the way down here, and then around to here, so it's not going to happen. They're going to just come right through here. In fact, if somebody has garbage that is parked up in this area, quite frankly, they may just come over to their car, put the bag in their car and drive over there, and they'll run away out. I just don't ever see anybody using that sidewalk. I understand that there's a safety concern towards us, you know, everyone's concerned today, but I just don't think that that's an issue.
The interesting thing is, which rarely happens, if you ask your four experts their opinion on this, two of them think one way and two of them think the other way. So two of them just said to me exactly what Mr. Fernandez just told you, and two of them just said to me the opposite. So the board's going to have to make the call on this. If you want to hear their various opinions, ask away. For the record, you should probably start.
Yeah, please.
I would like to know their.
Absolutely.
Start with Tom and work down this way. And give your honest opinion.
The original concept had the sidewalk. Given the sensitivity of the site, I mean, the buffering is absolutely important, but I don't know how you get around the safety issue. So does buffering trump safety in this case?
Are you ready for this? So, in your opinion, does buffering trump safety? You're going to give an opinion.
How about this? I'm going to throw out an alternative. What if the parking area was moved slightly further north, say another 2 or 3 feet, where you could create a concrete strip or some sort of impervious pavement along that area? So you bump the parking north a couple feet, by a couple feet, and throw in a skinny side.
Okay, before you answer, let's hear from Kathy.
I I have to be on the edge of side of safety, regardless of what people might do. We also have kids walking from, you know, the apartment building to Center Street or to West Street. You want to give them a safe access. There is no safe access except through a parking lot and down Washington.
So what you're saying is it should be sidewalk and not buffer.
Right.
Brian, what's your opinion?
We could certainly do a reduced buffer, but I just, in talking with Kathy, we had another thought here. Bear with me here. On the north side of the proposed parking lot, if we could get a sidewalk on that side from Center Street, because you know people are going to cut through here. It's going to happen, especially if there's a really great store there, which is, I'm hopeful, that has a really great cheeseburger. I'm walking through that lot. I don't care how I'm getting there. So I'm just thinking, why not take this a step further and let's, to satisfy Tom's comment about safety, would be to pull sidewalk on the north side of the building here and come across, and then maybe we can work something across the back side of the lot to the east of the dining area.
So this is the perfect time, I would think, to take a break. Let the applicant talk about what things they just heard here. Let the board look at the plan. And on top of that, if anyone needs to use the facilities,
yeah,
use the facilities.
So let's take, like, a 10-minute break. It is 8:43. We'll be back here by 8:53. Back on the record.
Are we on the record?
We are.
We are now on the record.
We have a potential notice issue. So can I ask you guys to come up to the table just for 1 minute, just to give me your address so we can go through this and figure out the notice thing.
It's not so bad.
Can you just grab that microphone on the end and identify yourself, your name?
Oh, I have a short tether here. Renner Rachel and...
Melissa Hill.
Okay. And your address is?
15 Center Street.
Well, we just looked up 15 Center Street, and apparently your lot and block, you are block 50, lot 29, and it looks like you abut the corner of Washington and Center Street?
Yes, that's correct.
And according to the 200-foot diagram on the site plans, you're certainly within 200 feet. You're right across the street from Washington, right? But you didn't get noticed, though. Mm-hmm. But we looked, and the tax assessor made a mistake. The tax assessor didn't put you on the list. So under the municipal land use law, the applicant gets to rely on the tax assessor's list. So Denise is going to tell the tax assessor tomorrow nicely that there was a mistake made, and they'll correct it, you know, for the future. But the good news is you're both here. Mm-hmm. How did you find out about it if you didn't get noticed?
Good question.
I'm waiting for it.
Okay. So I don't think there's a notice problem for two reasons. A, the applicant gets to rely on the tax assessor's list, and they were not put on the tax assessor's list by the tax assessor. And B, they're here anyway. But I just wanted to get that cleared up.
Yep.
Hope you don't mind.
Yep. Nope, thank you.
Where were we?
I think we were wrapping up the...
Oh, by the way, yeah, we did find out. Thomas Edison, we had our experts consult with Dr. Google. 1879 was Thomas Edison, but we also did some additional consulting, and it appears that the building was 1850 prior to electric distribution. So at least as to that issue. And we're not going to go back to the landscaping because everyone agrees to that condition. We're going to kick it to Dennis Bertrand and Brian Bosenberg. And there's additional visual aids that they'll now be able to use to help them come to that determination. There's an old picture frame on this floor of the municipal building that actually shows the old Seals Fox store, and the experts can look at that and draw their conclusions. So I think
about where do we end up with the sidewalk versus
the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That's right. Where we're going.
That's what I thought. We were trying to trade off.
Right. That's where we're going right now. So on the break, when the board was looking at the plans and you guys were talking about this, where are you on this sidewalk versus buffering issue?
We're going to let Wayne do that.
Okay, so Wayne's going to deal with that when he also deals with the restaurant and parking issue.
And so when we look at all these other reports on here, whether it be the engineer, the planner, the architect, that's all going to be done, lighting.
That's going to be done by Wayne.
By the engineer.
Correct, correct. Wayne?
Yeah.
Yep.
So now does, yeah, anything else?
So do you have anything more to direct?
One other question for the witness. In regard to Lot 1, Block 50, which is immediately to the north of our property, we are going to grant that person an easement to enter his enter the rear of his property?
Correct.
By foot or by vehicle at no cost to the owner of Lot 1, Block 50?
Correct.
And show that on the plan.
So this northern neighboring house has an existing garage and driveway that kind of comes off of West Street right back in here. And so basically he's going to have an easement through here and an entrance to his property, as shown on the site plan.
Got it. Right. Anything else for direct testimony?
No.
Two quick questions. I'm sorry if I missed it. The affordable housing component. Mm-hmm. What was the final agreement? Was that one unit or two?
Correct.
Units? One unit. And where is that going?
That's going to be on the first floor in the rear building.
So it will be accessible, handicapped?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I got. One.
So it's now time for board questions.
I have one question on loading. You indicated that loading that's adequate on the portion of Washington Street that will remain. Do you have the cart width of the portion of Washington Street that will remain? Because you don't have 30 feet of actual cart width. For
it's approximately 30 feet.
Can you also, during this testimony, can you also talk about how that will operate? I mean, there's no real ability to turn around. I don't know what size vehicles these will be, but if you can talk about that. And also garbage truck being able to move that.
Nothing. Any more professionals? Any more board? Anybody from the public want to ask this witness anything?
There's no one in the public. Is there any questions?